The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. Excuse me. On this 18th day of May, 2018, the reason why we always do the time and date stamp, and this has become pretty much the norm, Harley, in alternative media. The reason I do it, to make it easier to access in case the government ever comes after us, we have a complete recorded history. So it's going to be real tough. We make it easy for them to index and find, but also for our own defense in case we ever need it. And I'm still surprised, to be honest with you, with the chicanery I see going on in the world. I'm surprised we're still even here, Harley.
Well, I think we should be thankful you are.
I'm thankful that I still can have a voice out there. But we've been 10 years in the Great Depression. I don't know what that last one was. I think that was a warm-up. That was an exercise in 1929.
We're on the verge. We really are on the verge of what could be a much bigger crash than what happened in 2008, because we just added the debt on top of 2008, that the trillions of dollars in literally free money produced by the printing presses at the central banks for the purposes of stock speculation and bailing out the too big to fail banks. You can't do that. And you know, there should have been a bankruptcy reorganization and of the sort that would have separated out commercial bank from investment bank books. And the investment bankers should have been told, you're going to eat your own debt. You're not going to get bailed out. There's not going to be a bail-in. And if we find you engaged in criminal activity, there's not going to be bail for you.
Well, and that's fascinating because that would have been the proper thing to do. If you or I, sure, with a business, if we don't want to file for Chapter 7, we go into bankruptcy, Chapter 11, reorganization, a chance to straighten out the problems with the debt and everything else, with the hopes of continuing. Now,
but if you're on the good side of the Federal Reserve, you go to them and they say, oh, gee, well, we believe in moral hazard, but not for you. We're going to give you more money.
You know, it's the same damn pattern. In 1929, we were in the Depression, lasted for 10 years until, well, World War II started. But it was the same thing. There was no investment money out there. There was no money made available. And now on top of it, how many years, 70, 80, almost 80-some years in more and more and more regulation. It's very costly to business in this country. So in many, many respects, Harley, we are in a much more dire situation.
Well, we are. I mean, people talked about the problem in the benefit in the 1930s. We still had a very large rural population, and many people survived by leaving cities and going living on farms. We don't have that today. We have corporate farms. Mm-hmm. Where are people going to go? What are they going to do? And you know, I think one of the key points that Mr. LaRouche has always made is that when you look at the increase in the volume of financial debt and money printing, creation of monetary instruments. The third curve of the economy is the real economy, the production, and that's collapsed. So you have the financial aggregates and monetary aggregates going up almost at a nonlinear rate, and the physical product dropping. Now, an economy is based on how you can add value through proper use of credit and investment in new technologies, in plant and equipment, in job training, in research and development. None of that is part of our current economic policy. It's all, if you can get credit, put it into speculation. And one of the problems you have now that interest rates are going up is that you have to go into more and more risky enterprises in order to make money to be able to pay back your debt, your interest on your debt. So we're in an interest-driven spiral, just as we were when we ended up with the 20% interest rates. Remember the Volcker policy, 22% interest rates in the early 80s? Mm-hmm. And what did that do? It destroyed much of rural America. And that, combined with free trade, started the downturn of American industry. Since 2001, we've lost 6 million industrial jobs in this country. They're not coming back unless we radically shift away from this so-called neoliberal Federal Reserve quick money program.
Harley, I remember of the 80s, the farm auctions. Farmers, yeah. Farmers were going out of business, right and left.
Sure.
And who was there to pick them up? It was the people that had the money, and that was the corporations.
You know, in the Stephenville, which is not too far from Dallas, used to be the number one dairy center in Texas. And you had very excellent family farms, 150, 200 cows maximum. And that was pretty much dismantled in the 80s and because of the high interest rates. And you basically had the good farmland bought up by lawyers from Dallas who moved down there and put a couple of horses in and used it as a tax write-off.
Yes, there's been many things that's happened in Dallas that has not exactly been, should I say, American. Ed, Ed in Utah. Hello, Ed.
Hello?
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks a lot, John. This brings to mind, I had confronted William Crystal one time on a radio call-in show, and I'm hearing some of this here today. You have the, I refer to it as Marxist Jewry on the left, and what I accused his father of being, Irving Crystal, who founded the Federal Society. And basically, as former RBN host, late Michael Collins Piper, in one of his many books pointed out, John, the split in communism that sort of went unnoticed in the 50s. And you had basically your Marxists that stayed left, took over the Democrat Party, what have you. But they knew they needed some finesse to work, and that's where William Crystal's father, Irving, came in and got them to take over parts of the Republican Party, paving the way for a neocon policy under Ronald Reagan, which came into fruition in the 80s. Just a few years after the start of the Federalist Society. And so where I'm going with this is you have a split in communism. You have your left-wing Marxists, and then you have your with socialist policy, and then you have your so-called free traders out there chortling about, you know, all the free trade they did, Gingrich and the other puppets for them. So you have these communists that were birthed in Soviet Russia, which the American left, as you know, Harley, had no problem with over here when the Soviet Jews ran Soviet Russia. Then a more populist came along, i.e. Putin, and now you have the changeover. But I'll make my final point here on this end here, John, and that is your caller from San Francisco. That's quite a point there, because the way it looks now, it's not looking good. We have a total neocon policy going on.
That's right.
We have even a guy that flirts with a Bill Clinton persona, gun control talk, and look at today's shooting in Santa Fe High School. This is not good. This is not good at all where we're at right now. And I see this neocon policy being aided and vetted by certain voices, not yours, John, in the alternative world. Your thoughts, gentlemen.
Harley?
Well, I'm really happy to see you bring up one of my leading enemies in terms of the development of my sense of politics, which is Irving Kristol and his sidekick, Norman Podhoretz. These were very crucial people in moving, as you point out, from the left to the right, which to me shows that the left and the right is an artificial concept. Because the neoconservatives, look at it today. Look at Obama and Bush. Obama is supposedly the great liberal, Bush, the conservative, the Dick Cheney guy. The neoconservatives and neoliberals believe in a global government in which national sovereignty is eliminated. And who benefits from that? This is where I would disagree with the caller that it's not a communist ideology. It's a satanic ideology. It's greed. It's the people of power banding together and interlocking corporate cartels, destroying sovereign nation states, and taking away any power the people have through representative government. And in that sense, you have no difference. You see, take as an example that when the story of Russiagate came out and the decision was made to have new sanctions against Russia, what was the vote? It was 98-2 in the Senate. Trump opposed that vote, but there was nothing he could do to fight it. Look at the so-called Skripal affair, the so-called poisoning of this Russian double agent. It turns out it's a complete hoax, and yet the liberal Democrats and the conservative Republicans called on Trump to send missiles into Syria to teach a lesson. So I think the caller's point is that you actually have a convergence at the top of so-called left and right, Republican and Democrats, but what they have in common is they worship money. They don't like people. They are committed to the idea that they think they should rule. And I that's the problem, and I don't think Trump understands that.
I don't think he does either. He doesn't understand.
No.
He doesn't understand the buzzsaw, literally, as you said earlier, that he walked into, the Paul Ryans and you know, the like that was in the Republican yeah. Party. These are statists. They wanted no changes whatsoever, and they saw Trump as rocking their boat. He was dangerous.
He was a threat. He was a threat to the system.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that I've pointed out repeatedly is that if you look at Robert Mueller and the operation that was put in place around him, the test case for this was in the 1980s when they went after Lyndon LaRouche, you know, my mentor. They went after him on the authority of British intelligence saying that LaRouche was either a Nazi or a communist and had to be stopped. And they ran a Get LaRouche task force, and the person who took it over in 1986 was Robert Mueller. And when they eventually convicted LaRouche, what was the charge against him? Conspiracy to defraud the Internal Revenue Service. And he was sentenced to 15 years in prison.
Yeah, go ahead, Ed. What, your question?
Yeah, one final point. I agree with pretty much what I'm hearing here. But, you know, you said he got overwhelmed by the swamp. He took them on. But he didn't have to do all that, it seems to me. There was a Pat Buchanan there. He could have brought some of those people aboard. Yeah. You had the fact that Don Trump Jr. went on the political cesspool. That's a venue that David Duke goes on. So the controlled media was not factually wrong that time when they tried to link Mr. Trump to the David Duke people. The reason they weren't wrong is that he had sort of a nationalist talk, as Harley is pointing out here. He's going to have to throw a Hail Mary at some point
yeah.
and reach out, if not even to RBN. It's like, we're done. We are done. Even the great RBN will have no purpose if this goes on another while. Like you said, John, you're surprised you're here a decade after what we saw 10 years ago.
Oh, Ed, please. Don't say it as if that's going to be our epitaph on our tombstone. We will just morph into another form. That's all that I'll say about that.
Well, maybe that form will have an alliance with the Bundys that are fighting this in Nevada. And I'll tell you, with what I'm hearing from the Trump people, including this Huckabee woman, this Sanders, sounding like a feminist and all this stuff. I'll tell you what, I do believe where you have your man on Saturday, the Radio Avenger, Rick Adams, mm-hmm. I believe that they did assassinate Jim Trafficant.
I think that they did, because he demonstrated that, look, I'm not going to take a deal. I'm not going to be whipsawed by you people. I am going to serve my term. I will decide what I'm going to do in the political arena when I get out. And
and that's exactly what when LaRouche went to prison, before he was sentenced, they offered him a deal that if they would give him a professorship if he would stop his political activity. And instead, you know, he's 96 years old. He's still fighting. And, you know, many of the things that we've been talking about for 30 to 40 years are now becoming obvious. The point is, we have an opportunity. We had an opportunity with Trump. I still think it's there, provided he starts listening to some of the people. You mentioned Pat Buchanan. That's a very good voice. I still think Roger Stone represents a thinking approach to this that can work.
I do as well, Harley, and I wanted to throw something else in here. I was looking for Donald Trump to possibly pull in Ron Paul as being vice president, and mm-hmm. that would have been a sheer stroke of genius, because he was known, and he would have been a counterbalance, at least constitutionally,
To
Goldman Sachs, but maybe even some of Trump's ideas. I mean, he would have been a great sounding board, and I'm in agreement with you.
But isn't it interesting now that Rand Paul actually is, I think, doing some very effective fighting, especially if you haven't seen it yet, take a look at what he did around Brennan. And I'll send you my latest article for you to post. And if any of your listeners want to get it from me, as I always do on this program, send me an email and I'll send the latest articles and a link to my blog. So my email address is harleysch@gmail.com. So it's harleysch@gmail.com.
And I appreciate
you. I also have an article recently. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say about my comment here about Rand Paul. I was watching Rand versus his father. I was putting the mirror up to his face and hoping to see his father's, but in many instances he wasn't. But I appreciate what Rand Paul, and I noticed the very same thing. He just didn't take the wet bone that the previous dog had chewed. He went after this at a different angle.
Yeah.
And I greatly appreciated that. It shows me that the guy's got some spunk. And he's got some heart, and maybe.
Well, don't forget how long ago was it that someone jumped him in his yard and nearly killed him?
Beat the crap out of him. He was out there with his headphones on mowing his lawn. Roxanne in Texas, we're running short of time here with our guests today. Go ahead.
Real quick. Hi. Real quick question: Mueller, Comey, Brennan, Straw, Page, Brenner, and Helper. We know that they're all part of that Russian collusion, right? And we even know they met in Piccadilly Circus. My question is do you think Trump allowed this Russian collusion to play out to show the world who these, they're household names anymore? What do you think of that?
Well, I think if Trump had his druthers, he'd rather not have this happen, because it's pretty much destroyed his administration so far. Mm-hmm. But he now has the opportunity, because there have been people like Devin Nunes, some of the congressmen, Jordan, and a few others, who have pursued this. What we now know clearly is that this was a British intelligence, MI6, CIA-coordinated deep state operation. And as you're absolutely right, Roxanne, we know the names now. Strzok,
yes.
Lisa Page, Bruce and Nellie Orr, McCabe. It's clear that this is a conspiracy operation inside the institutions of this government that have been identified. The question is, who's going to put him in jail? And
that's
Sessions is obviously not up to the task.
I couldn't agree with you more. And one of the bigger questions that I have, and thank you for your call, Roxanne. I appreciate the brevity. One of the things that I see, I know that the Justice Department has been kind of tied in knots. What happened to the Hillary Clinton deal? What happened to the Clinton Foundation?
It's not over. Inspector General, Horowitz, the Office of Inspector General, is still digging. And he has certain limitations. But he's looking into this whole question, especially around the role of Peter Strzok in the Flynn case and also the Clinton interrogation, that Clinton was let off the hook completely. And it was Peter Strzok who did that, under, of course, Comey and McCabe.
It's almost beyond belief. It's beyond the pale. The Clintons, both Hillary and Bill, going back to Arkansas, going back to MENA. I mean, my God in heaven, there is enough criminal action that's been done by this pair that you could sentence them for 99 life terms. It's been so egregious. You can pin murders on
them. What about the Bush family?
Exactly.
It's one grouping. And the problem is that to the extent they have the media behind them and they have the political parties under the control of the money interests, they think they're safe. Much of what they did in Russiagate is stupid in that it does expose them. But they were willing to take the risk because they thought it would never be exposed. Look, the work that my organization has done, as poor as we are and as small as we are, you look at what you're doing at RBN, there are small, courageous groups of people who have forced these revelations into the public notice. And we've just got to keep at it. But we've got to get under the skin of the American people and tell them, don't sit and wait for Trump to do it. Don't believe in this QAnon theory. You've got to be active. The revolution that took place in the last couple of years is voters on Brexit and the rejection of the political parties in France and Germany and Italy, the Trump election. It shows there's an insurgency below the surface, but it doesn't have the proper leadership. And we've got to provide that.
Harley, let me ask you something, and this is just off the cuff, but do you think with the proper exposure, just say today's program, if it was heard by a couple of million people, do you think that we could start to affect change in this country?
Sure. Because I think there are more people. You don't need 50 million people to change the United States. You need, in a sense, the Gideon's Army principle. You get people who are passionately committed to an idea, like the group that made the American Revolution. They didn't have support of the whole population, but you have passionate commitment to ideas that you take out and fight with people and bring them around to recognize that it's in their interest to fight for these changes.
Well,
and obviously we need more, we need bigger audiences.
Well, and I would say that by a scale of judgment here, the passion is in direct proportion to inversely how broke you are, and it's true because the support that should have been lent to people that were trying to do the right thing for the right reasons, not a private agenda, not accruing wealth, and oh, by the way, I can help you along the way. I'm talking about people on a mission to restore this country. At one time, Harley, it truly was. It was a wonder. It was the eighth wonder of the world. People couldn't believe that people could actually move about freely. They could contract. They could grow business. They could do anything that they wanted to. They could stand on a street corner and espouse their opinion without oppression.
You could move. I mean, the American population was highly mobile. There were so many opportunities that people had. And, that's being lost.
It's just about gone. It's about out of sight. Why we still have people's attention, and I've been warning people for a number of years, Harley, I've been doing this for 26 years, and I've been telling people that take a look around you even today. This is going to look like nirvana to you. For what's coming in the future, I can see it as clearly as I'm sitting here right now. And we had better start paying attention and start banding together and start working feverishly. Work like you have a purpose, because we are oh so short of time.
And you do have a purpose, which is that we have to reinvent or reinvigorate, I should say, this great promise of the American tradition.
Could you do me a favor, Harley, tomorrow when you're with your four-year-old's birthday? Would you tell him? Would you tell him that there's a guy in the stateside that wished him happy birthday, and shake his hand for me? Will you?
Absolutely.
All righty, we got about 2 minutes left. Any parting shots?
Well, you know, sometimes people get pessimistic and they start thinking that this is something too big, and then you got to think back what happened in November 2016. How many people thought Trump could win? Now, is Trump finished as a phenomena? This was always something bigger than Donald Trump. And that's why I come back to this point you and I were just discussing. Every person listening to this broadcast should go out and start talking to people. Take the next days ahead. Get out the story, the story of who's running this operation and why, the corruption, the fraud, the satanic evil of people like Clapper and Brennan. And I think if more people take that responsibility, we can see another miracle happen, including taking down the power of the Federal Reserve and the too big to fail banks and the institutions of the Republican and Democratic Party.
Oh, brother, that's first on my hit list. Take the damn bankers down, because this has been the very mechanism they've used to subvert the whole world.
Well, and they've brought ruin on themselves. It's, you know, it's sort of like the Wile E. Coyote thing. They've run off the cliff, but they haven't looked down yet, so they haven't fallen.
You don't think for a moment that they haven't converted some of their wealth into stuff that they're going to have after everybody else goes down in flames.
No question about that.
Yeah.
We have to find out where they're going to move.
Yeah. All right. And that's a good suggestion. Your report that you offered to people, tell them again what that is, and then your email address again, Harley.
Yeah, I'm writing a weekly column, and the most recent one is on Brennan. The one before that was on the fake economic recovery. You can write to me at harleysch@gmail.com, and I think your listeners know I respond. I send out the articles I promise, and also I can answer questions if you're interested. So it's harleysch@gmail.com. And, John, I appreciate you and giving me the opportunity to talk to your listeners.
No, I'm still, as I said in my email, I'm still amazed that you're able to sit up until 3 o'clock in the morning to do this show with us. I don't know if people understand that it's in the middle of the night for this guy right now. He's got to get up in 4 hours to go do his four-year-old's birthday party. So,
well, also, I was up till 3 a.m. last night writing my article. So, but that's the passion. You know, if you really have a sense of what we could lose and the importance of what we could win, you know, it tends to be a motivating factor.
Well, there's plenty of time to sleep after you die. That's for sure. All right,
my grandfather used to say.
Harley Schlanger, thank you so much.
Okay, John, thank you.
We'll speak again soon. All righty.
Yeah. Bye.
I don't know quite how to say this, because I don't want to insult any past guest I've had on this program, but this is a very knowledgeable man. And he's been tested. I've been listening to the questions. He's been tested. I would very much like to see in the future. And it's kind of all right to take a break, I guess. It's all right. I guess we'll take the break. That shocked me. I was not ready for that. I thought we had another minute. Did you slide another commercial in there? No? Okay. All right. Let's take the bottom of the hour break here. And I got Chris Hinckley online. We'll hear what Chris has to say right after this.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
How does the head dude for the Rolling Stones at the age of 75 still have the energy to go out and tour? Mr. Lips. Rock and roll. The way it used to be. At any rate, Hinckley. Mr. Chris Hinckley, how are you?
Good, John. How are you?
I'm amazingly, after 5-hour energy and about 3 cups of coffee, I'm doing pretty good.
Right on.
What's on your mind?
Well, it's a fantastic broadcast. I didn't want to interrupt. And, you know, I guess apropos to wait until the end of Harley's segment. He's always fantastic. This was no exception. The callers are great. This is a great broadcast. I just was going to address your what sounded like sort of a rhetorical question. You know, if 10 or 20 or however many million people listen to today's broadcast, for example, would it make a difference? And I think so, but I think that in a very practical sense, obviously, you know, I mean, we know that this is a thing that has been happening, a phenomenon, so to speak, over time, and it would take time And what I mean by that is it's like a different language, basically. You know,
what do you mean different? Are you talking about how we talk and the ideas?
Well, not necessarily. It's, you know, you have the names, you have the facts, you know, I mean, all of the information that was covered, especially, you know, World War II and, you know, throughout the 20th century, so much of that information, so many of those names that were mentioned are occluded from mainstream consciousness. Mm-hmm. And because of all of that, it becomes almost an entirely different language, complete with its own sort of identity. Its own direction. You know, as we know, we have all of these sort of control groups. There's the limited hangouts that, you know, the CIA creates for everyone so that everyone has their talking points. Everyone can play their role, but no one really thinks for themselves. So it would take time for people to actually,
Chris, let me stop you because mm-hmm. If I don't, I won't be able to gather the thought and then get it out before I lose it. I have a tendency to disagree with you a little bit there because mm-hmm. just as some of the callers that called into this program today, these people are pretty astute themselves. They've done their research. They know what's going on. And there are millions of more people out there that I do believe that are just languishing, feeling all alone, like they've got a life preserver and they're out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean all by their lonesome. I think... And I'm going to talk to you later about this, and I'll talk to you about it more in depth. I've been kicking around an idea of expanding this thing out, but in a different way. And if we can get to these people, even the ones that are still locked up in the metropolitan red pill state out there, that we mm-hmm. can still get to these people. And what would happen is it's talk radio. You have your callers. And the amount of information that's exchanged, the ideas and the questions that people would have, it would be like a beacon of light to them. They would be drawn to it, and it could become a phenomenon. Just much like alternative media, it had its heyday. It's in its waning stages, and I would not want to, you know, discount people or people that have tried in the past, but nobody has seemed to be able to keep a network going or structure a network out that has the variety of programming that this one has. Yeah. But this could be tweaked and fine-tuned even further for public consumption. I mean, we're the wellspring here of information.
Yeah.
But we don't have enough people drinking from our bucket from this well of knowledge.
Well, I think what I'm saying is a little different. I agree with everything that you said. I think what I'm saying is a little different. I think maybe it's like I don't know, it's like two steps, basically. That's the first step. But there is, you know, the peaking of interest over time. And, I mean, everything that you guys talked about, I was born in 1970, so I'm a little younger, and I have seen, you know, we read all of these things and you go, wow, you know, like the Bilderberg Group was news when Gary Allen wrote about it in None Dare Call It Conspiracy back in 1971. It's not so much news anymore. And we keep rediscovering these things, but it's not just the discovery. Once that happens, then it's like this different, you know, like I said, it's like a different language. There are concepts and things that you really have to acclimate to. I think that takes time. It has, I think, its own identity, its own direction, its own momentum, which I think is why guys like Fabian Socialist Arnold J. Toynbee were so important, or why Carol Quigley has to be occluded from history. The concepts, like what Andrew Jackson talked about in his farewell address in 1837, when he said, and it sounds simple, but it takes time to really, I think, digest it and go, aha, you guys, you mentioned the first thing that has to go away is this evil central banking cartel, as Griffin puts it. But that was what Jackson was fighting, obviously. And mm-hmm. he said, with regard to that issue along the way in his farewell address, he said the paper money system and its monopoly and privileges have already struck their roots too deep in the soil. And, you know, said we need to do everything we can to eradicate the evil. But he said... it is to yourselves, to echo Harley's point, basically. It is to yourselves, Jackson said, that you must look for safety, and the means of guarding and perpetuating your free institutions. In your hands is rightfully placed the sovereignty of the country, and to you, everyone placed in authority is ultimately responsible. It is always in your power to see that the wishes of the people are carried into faithful execution, and their will, when once made known, must sooner or later be obeyed. And, you know, Jefferson obviously echoed that sentiment in his draft of the Kentucky Resolutions. We see it all over the place. I think this is particularly American, we might argue, but it's a different sort of animal than people are conditioned.
Yeah, I understand. But, okay, how's the best way to explain this? Just as you saw people gravitating to Trump, there were people that didn't know Donald Trump. They might have known he was a billionaire. He flew around in his own Trump jet. They knew he had a reality TV show, which I never saw one episode of. But it was what he was talking about and the people that kept gravitating. His crowds kept building. I wish the guy would have stumped for president for another year, because what he was doing was absolutely phenomenal. My point here is we can tap into that same kind of energy. The only thing that we have to do is put the lamp into their feet. They will come. If that is out there, I don't think the transition to a smarter America is going to be as slow as you think, Chris. I really don't. Because people are in trouble. People are hungry for knowledge. And they have been denied at any given turn. They've been denied by their own news media, their local papers, their local TV stations, the national news. They have been shunned all over the place. And I'm telling you that if we could get this just for instance, say in the top 20 cities in this country, the most populated, are 70% of them, are they absolutely useless? Maybe. But I don't need 30%. Maybe I only need 10% of those millions of people to listen and hearken and start to turn this thing around. We've been doing nothing to build power. We've been doing nothing. We have been losing at that game. We've got smarter people, but it's a small cadre. That small cadre has got to be expanded. Got to be expanded.
Yeah. I completely agree, and to that, but again, you know, and I...
By the way, I have callers, Chris, and I'd like to roll some calls here, so if you want to hang around,
sure,
go ahead and make your point, and then we'll take some calls.
Well, I don't disagree with you, and I would just say that I respectfully... bow to your tenure, I guess. I don't know how else to put it. Well, I respect the fact that you've been you know, doing this. You've been at this longer than I have, obviously, and so there are things you've forgotten more than most of us ever learned.
Well, you don't know how close to the truth that really is.
But, you know, I mean, to your point that you just made, I refer to John Adams' dissertation on the canon and feudal law fairly regularly, published in 1765, Adams said that we should engage the attention of every man of learning to matters of power and right, that we may neither be led nor blind, driven blindfolded to irretrievable destruction. And he said, nothing less than this seems to have been meditated for us by somebody or other in Great Britain, yeah, which sounds like Quigley's Anglophile Network to me. But yeah, he said there seems to be a direct and formal design on foot to enslave all America. But backing up, he opened that paragraph by saying, let every sluice of knowledge be opened up instead of flowing. And he said all of the brilliant philosophers of the day are said to have owed their eminence in political knowledge to the tyrannies of those reigns. And so basically, I'm echoing your sentiment. I don't think it would take that long either, but I do think it's a different sort of animal. For example, last thing, real quick, one of the most glaring and provocative examples is people conditioned in this society today will watch Charlie Chaplin's speech in The Great Dictator and say, it's fantastic. It's textbook Marxism.
That's exactly what it was.
And so, and that's the joke. And so they don't get it. They have to, it takes sort of it's a re-education process.
Well, but here's the magic sword of it. is that it would be live and it would be interactive. That's the beauty of it. This is something, yeah. I mean, they'd literally have to come and burn the radio station down, or they'd have to shoot the engineer that was maintaining the equipment there. They would literally have to physically, offensively go after it in order to shut it down. And I still believe, and I feel this in my, Chris, I feel this in my heart. It's just not a dream that, you know, my perceptions become my reality, and therefore comes the drive. Well, I've seen a lot of people chasing their tails out there. But I know, and I still have faith in the American people. A lot of people deride the American people, how stupid they are. Yes, they've been dumbed down. They've been dumbed down because they have not heard intelligent conversation. They have not heard constitutional thought. They have not heard real history. And those, I'm in agreement with you to a point that you can't overload them because their little brains will just short out. Like a light bulb is supposed to take 110 volts and you shoot 220. Hey, it's going to be real bright, but only for an instant, and then it's going to go bye-bye. There is a way to do this, but the specialty of it would be, it would be reachable, it would be live, and it would be interactive. That would be the beauty of it. Let me go
that to... That sounds exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you, right here and right now, this is the only thing that has kept me going. It's just not maintaining, because I'm sick and tired of maintaining. I still have that drive and that energy to still talk to American people that I know that they want to hear, not necessarily John Stapmiller's voice, but what John Stapmiller is saying. I don't care if I die in total anonymity. Like I've joked before, and I'm dead serious. The person that's going to be responsible for sticking me in the ground, my epitaph on my tombstone is going to read, "There's nothing worse in this life than a bad cup of coffee." Andy in Texas. Hello, Andy.
Hey, John and Chris. It's nice to talk to you guys. Hey, listen, I think right now we've got these deep state Democratic people. They're on the recluse here. They're really trying to rebound and whatnot. And I'm pretty sure they have their estate spot in non-extraditable countries and whatnot. But I really think if we're going to do this, we need to dive in head first. And perhaps Donald Trump has a strategic time when he's going to actually do that. But he's got to dive in first. He's got to just go in there and fire Mueller, fire Rosenstein, fire Sessions, and he's just got to do it. And we know as soon as he does that, there'll be another special counsel brought up to investigate why he did that, and there'll be some obstruction there.
But okay. Andy, slow your roll here for a second. And okay, I'll let you get the rest of your thought out. But no, I don't think that's necessarily has to be the case. Depends on who he picks for his next attorney general and the IG. And the people in his cabinet. You know, what I wanted to really ask Harley Schlanger, and it would have to be speculation wholly and solely on his part, unless he has been talking to Roger and maybe he does know. I would like to know if Mr. Trump has been told, look, you'd better play ball with us, otherwise, you know what we're saying.
John F. Kennedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean... The thing is that we, the American people, are quite impatient right now, especially those of us who's known what's been going on for several years now. We're getting very impatient. I mean, I'm sitting here waiting for the revolution. I'm waiting for, the Declaration of Independence. These people made a declaration, and they stood by it. They put it on paper, and they stood by it, and they went and did what they said they're going to do. And we've been declaring that we don't like this, and we can't see how we can function in this society anymore with these kind of people running our country. So we, the people, need to make our own declaration, and we need to go get these people. And if Donald Trump's not going to do it, then it's left up to the people.
Andy, one of the facets to this network is to keep the troops informed and on standby.
You've always done that. I really appreciate that so much. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Andy. I appreciate your call. Mike in Colorado. Hello, Mike.
Hey, John. Hey, Chris. So as you guys talk about this, I think back to the original revolution where about a third of the population were loyalists to the crown. About 40% were indifferent because they didn't understand. They didn't have the knowledge. And I think when Chris is talking about a different language, it's maybe not necessarily a different language, but a different story. So they think they're watching one thing, but there's actually something else going on behind it. And that's where I think your network, your hosts, your guests, especially Harley, and some of your callers do a really good job to try to separate that. So, I mean, at some point when people get hungry enough, they will listen to the person who has the most sense to get them fed. We're not at that point, which, you know, whatever.
I hate to disagree with the callers, and excuse me for doing so, but I think you're selling short what the American people did by paying attention to Donald Trump and voting for him. And
do they know why?
Well, that's just the point. They heard what he was saying, but where is their basis of knowledge and their conviction behind it? That's what we would add. We would put the color behind that story. We would give you the facts. We will fill the gaps. We will slather in truth rather than just BS what we've seen in the past.
Well, absolutely, and I'm not trying to disparage your idea. I think your idea is fantastic, because when the water's flowing in the basement, the guy who knows how to stop the water is the one everybody listens to.
Yeah, pretty much, but they got unfortunately, each individual's basement's got to get wet first. Well, I think everybody's basement is pretty much flooded up to the first floor by now.
It's getting pretty bad, so keep up the good work. I appreciate you, and I appreciate what Chris had to add today.
All
right. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it very much. You know, I don't listen to your show enough, Chris. You know, I've got a million things to do, a household to run, radio show to do, network to run. I wished I was cloned. I wished I was cloned and I programmed my younger self so the old one could sit down and have a rest. But I know what this is going to take in order to have it happen. I know the turn that America has to make, and I was enthused and I was impressed. Not by Trump getting elected, but by the people's enthusiasm to listen to a man that he was saying what they wanted to hear.
I understand, I think, what you mean by that. And it's not that they felt like they were being sold. They were connecting with the message, the underlying message,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Is what you're...
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They were there because he was speaking to their interest.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't more freebies or handouts. It was, hey, we need to bring jobs back to this country. We're tired of illegals running around. I mean, the places that he went, you couldn't walk 10 feet after you walked out of one of those events without running into an illegal. People knew exactly what was going on, and they were there because what Trump was saying was in their best interest. And that has to be fortified. That has to be shored up. Now, what I'm mostly concerned about, here it is. We're almost halfway to through 2018. Guess what's coming up next year? I want the White House again. I don't know if there's going to be anything left of Donald Trump by the next election cycle. And if that is the case, I pray to God that somebody is groomed that's going to be better and sharper than Donald Trump to take his place. But if we leave it up to the establishment, the Republican National Convention, these asshats, and who they put for the American people to vote on and what various office anywhere USA is abysmal. It's more than abysmal. It's laughable.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, again, sort of gets back to me to that different concept, maybe to say it a different way. And I agree with you. I don't think it would take long. I have espoused a thing I call Jonah's gospel. You know, in the Bible, Jonah was a character that went through Nineveh. The Bible says a day's journey. It says Nineveh was a 3-day journey, but God said, go say, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. So Jonah went one day, a third of the way through town at best, and word got back to the king and they repented. So it could happen quick. You know, it's my example of that. I think you're right. I don't think it would take time, but it's still a different concept. And my connection with this, I remember years ago, was Reagan's Time for Choosing speech back in 1964 on the Goldwater presidential campaign trail, when Reagan said, this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. And he said, this is the issue of this election. It's still the issue, whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. And I feel like the American people connect with that message that we were talking about that Trump campaigned on. It resonates in their hearts and their souls. But at the same time, people have been conditioned to, as Aldous Huxley put it, love their servitude. And so that's kind of the cognitive dissonance that they struggle with, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. No, I understand. But I have been over the years, I've been somewhat critical of the American people's ability to just, as you said, be acclimated to their slavery. You know, the most effective chains for a slave are the ones that are the most invisible.
Yeah.
You know, but it wouldn't take very long to plant the right seed in the right place in the American people's minds to have that bloom and bloom quickly. My only concern is that it would grow too fast, that we would have a tiger by the tail that we couldn't control.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be one hell of a problem to have, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And that's always the caution, you know, don't rush off into a minefield before you have a lay of the land.
Well, and many people have the opinion right now, why not take the chance? I got 101 shot of making it through that minefield, but I'm tired of standing here because I'm going nowhere fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, my friend. Well, I appreciate you filling in for me Thursday. I really needed that day. I was as busy as a dog with three tails.
Always glad to help. And I will conclude with this. I agree with your, I guess, if I may say, you know, faith in the Constitution of the American people. And, you know, after all, I are one, so I'd like to believe in that.
You know, if I'm still any good at my math, you're 48?
Yeah.
Wow.
In August, actually.
Wow. Too bad. Where were you at in the country?
Up in the Pacific Northwest.
Jeez, you're too far away to have a birthday drink, that's for damn sure.
Right. Well, you know, the rumor is, I've been talking to the board ops, that I will sneak down there sometime this summer. That's the rumor.
Well, you know what? There's a chair with your initials already embroidered on it.
Fantastic.
Alrighty, sir.
Thanks, John, as always.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you coming on.
You bet.
All right. How much time do we have here? No, 1 minute? Basically, you told me we're out of time, and there's the bumper. All righty, folks, thanks for being here today. Remember, take advantage of the front site offer. I was talking to an ex-sheriff deputy today. He's interested in taking the course, and he just recently retired. Get a hold of the powers that be here, folks. Call Dan Sutterfield. His home number, 573-762-2356. Cell phone, 573-465-2356. And if you didn't get all that, hell, I'm driving down the road and I didn't get a chance to write it down. The website, republicbroadcasting.org. All the information is there. Folks, do not forget, we need your donations to stick around. And I, like you, I'm tired of the static. We need to expand and move quickly. Thanks for being here. See you again Monday.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.